Welcome to the Byline Podcast. My name is Emery, and this is episode 14. Welcome back to the Byline Podcast. My name is Emery, and this is episode 14. Super cool. I'm really excited to get this episode out because I have a guest that has a very interesting story. In fact, it's not just one guest, not just two guests, it's three. And it's a family from the East Coast that together hiked the Appalachian Trail. However, there's a bit of a twist to it. One of the members of the family was only 1 year old when she hiked this trail. And my guest is better known on Instagram as Ellie on the AT. This is a family that was super passionate about hiking prior to the AT and always intended on going on the Appalachian Trail. But, as everything happens, life kind of gets in the way and they end up getting married and have a child, Ellie. And Becca and Derek decide, screw it, let's just do this thing. We're going to sell our house. We're going to try this Appalachian Trail. And based on our experiences previous to this, we're going to give this thing a shot. So literally this couple takes Ellie on an Appalachian Trail through hike all the way. They did a flip-flop. They finished the trail and they brought their one-year-old daughter on the trail with them. She learned to walk and met a ton of different people. And this is such an incredible story. If you have kids out there and you're wondering if you can even get outside and do this kind of stuff, this is going to be the episode for you. In fact, I've had previous episodes where I talk about having family in the outdoors, and this is just another one of those awesome examples of never giving up on the outdoors and doing something crazy. This is going to be a great episode. Please enjoy. And without further ado, here you go. Man, okay, this is super exciting for me because can you guys just take a second to introduce yourselves and where you're from, what you guys did this last summer, and how you did it, or at least like just a quick introduction or a long introduction, whatever you guys like?
Yeah, sure. So I am Becca Queer, and otherwise known on the trail as Kinga, and
I'm Derek, otherwise I guess known on the trail as Sherpa.
And then we thru-hiked this past year, 2017, with our daughter Ellie. She had just turned one when we started, and then we finished when she was 18 months old. So that is a little bit about what we did and who we are.
Okay, so I found you guys when I was on the PCT. My fiance at the time sent me this Instagram account of Ellie on the AT, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm struggling out here on the PCT, and this couple is hiking with their baby. So it kind of put a lot of things in perspective for me. I'm like, wow, everyone has their own story, their own thing. So, okay, you hiked the AT with a child that was a year old. Can you kind of work backwards and like, okay, how did this happen? Was it totally planned from the beginning, or where did you guys decide to start doing this?
Yeah, so when we were in high school, Derek worked at an outfitter that's on the AT in Daleville, Virginia, and he met a lot of hikers and started learning about the trail and what it is to do a through hike. And so he really wanted to do a through hike in high school or shortly after high school, and it just never worked out. And then college came, we got married, we didn't have the money for him to go and do it, and so it just never worked out. So he spent about 8 years dreaming for this trip, and it just never happened. And finally, we were starting to realize if we don't make this happen and make it a priority, it's never going to happen because... Yeah. If he didn't do it when he was single, if he didn't do it before we had kids, you can just keep making excuses.
Yep,
and so one of the things that we had talked about that, and then we got pregnant with Ellie, and we never really considered any big trip with her. It was just something, it was a conversation that we had had for the future. And so then we got pregnant with Ellie, totally got preoccupied with being pregnant with her, and jobs, and we had a little farm, and so it totally was on the back burner, didn't even cross our minds. And Ellie was born in March of 2016, and then a couple months after she was born, I started hiking with her a lot. I was on maternity leave, and I was just looking for a way to get out of the house, but mm-hmm. We are both like really frugal people, so I didn't want to spend a lot of money. So I thought, okay, well, I'm all recovered from having the baby. Let's go hiking. And so we joined this local hiking group called Hike It Baby in Greenville, South Carolina, where we lived at the time. And I hiked with her a couple times a week, and I loved it, and she loved it. And she was having a lot of fun just like looking around, because between 2 and 3 months, they start to get really observant of their surroundings. And she was less fussy when I was hiking with her. And I was just noticing how much we were thriving together out there. But Derek never got to go with us because he was working. The way that our jobs worked out, when I went on maternity leave, he took over all of my responsibilities because we worked together in like a dual position, guiding outdoor trips. And so when I left for maternity leave, he took it all over. And so he never got to come with us. And so I was trying to think of ways where he could come with us and we could do a big trip. And we have this book on our coffee table that's an Appalachian Trail. It's mostly a photo book and gives a little information about each state. And so I was sitting in our living room just nursing Ellie as a little baby, flipping through this book, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, what if we do hike the AT? And so I looked, the first thing I did is I looked online and I looked to see if anyone else had done it. And since I had seen that nobody else had done it, I was like, oh, I guess it means it's not possible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the thought was still in my head. And so that night when Derek came home for dinner, we were sitting at the dinner table, and I said, what if we threw hike the AT next year with Ellie? I said, you know, you're looking for a transition in jobs, and it's on your bucket list, and we're looking for a way to experience Ellie's life together, and how that you wouldn't be missing everything. And I said, what if we did that? We would take off. We could have enough for a year. And so then we had to figure out financially how that would work. And we decided, okay, well, we could sell the house. But first, what we had to do was we talked to some friends that had through hiked before just to get their opinion. And so we called them and we said, hey, nobody's done it before. We're wondering if that's because it's not possible or it's just really unsafe. And so what do you think? And after all the conversations we had with people, everybody said, based on your experience level and your like precautions of not taking it too far, if you were to get in a sticky situation, they said, we say go for it. As long as you're okay to turn around if you ever get in a bad situation or feel like it's too hard, they said, we said, go for it. There's nothing on the AT that's really going to just like be totally irresponsible to take a baby on. So we're like, okay. So it was literally in one night, we went from the idea of, okay, maybe this is a possibility to, okay, like we're going to get our house ready to put on the market and we'll use the money from selling our house to do the AT.
So, holy smokes.
Yeah, so we, from that night on, we just started planning and preparing for it. It was one of those things where it's like, we have to mentally commit and say to ourselves and to our family and friends, like, we are doing this, not just, well, we'd like to do it, because if we kept saying we'd like to do it, we might not ever get around to actually doing it. So we set a date, we set a timeline for selling our house, we did everything we had to do, and we had 10 months before we needed to leave for the trail. And so over the course of the next 10 months, we sold the house, moved to Virginia, and with family for a couple months before we left on March 20th.
That is a crazy turn of events.
Yeah, pretty fast.
So you had 10 months between the time you decided to do the thing and the time you stepped off on the AT for the first time.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that long because we kept busy between selling the house and couple of odd jobs here and there that I worked, but the last month felt long because we were counting days instead of months or weeks.
Yeah.
But it flew by quick, and then the hike itself flew by even faster.
Right. Okay. So I know how I mentally planned for the trail, like even just physically planned. Well, physically as in terms of timeline, right. So, you know, X amount of months, average miles, that kind of thing. Did you guys, how detailed did you, you're planning for not only just a couple hike, but now you have a 1-year-old with you. What was your planning? What did you plan for? Like, what did you take into account, I guess, differently than what a normal hiker would have?
Well, we took into account our experience, what we had gained from our past experience as far as our average pace. And then we were just super conservative. Realistically, it was funny talking to other people. We said, well, to through hike, technically, the AT, it's got to be in less than a year. So it started to get around that we were going to take a whole year, but we were never actually intending to take a whole year. Realistically, though, thought it would take us about 8 months to finish it. We expected ourselves as, you know, average hikers to be able to do it in 6, but then expected Ellie would actually slow us down a bit with having to stop with her. And, and we really didn't know what to expect. We had done about 4 days of backpacking with her, but we hadn't done much more than that. So we didn't know long-term how, you know, it would affect her, but we were just, you know, keeping an open mind to that and allowing for longer. But the way that it turned out was that going slow with Ellie actually was more stressful than just banging out miles. She would get antsy and just ready to go. And we didn't zero much because she didn't like to zero. She didn't like sitting in a hostel or a hotel for the day. And so we just didn't do that. It was much more fun for her and much more mentally beneficial for us to not zero and to just keep going. So we did zero for weather when we had to, but otherwise we just kept walking, and we did a lot of Neros, which was nice for us. But otherwise, as far as logistics and planning, we did have to an extent be somewhat detailed in the short term as far as our resupplies go, because we never had a guarantee of whether or not a resupply area would have diapers, and she was still in diapers.
Yeah.
So we did have to know roughly where we were going to be and when, as far as a couple weeks out to have diapers mailed to us. But it really wasn't that difficult. In the beginning, we started near our family, and so they were bringing us our resupplies. So we figured out how fast we were able to go in our miles, per day and whatnot. And it just took us a couple weeks of doing that and family and friends bringing us our resupplies to realize, okay, we know where we're going to be. We'll just plan for a few weeks out and have our resupplies mailed to us, at least diapers mailed to us. We did do trail resupplies like in stores and stuff for about half the trail. But throughout most of it, we did have diapers mailed to us.
Were you kind of, it sounds like maybe the trail, like you were able to figure it out as you went a lot easier than what you maybe thought. I mean, cause that's what I would imagine that you become very self-reliant. You're like, okay, cool. This is just my new normal. Is that kind of how it started? Like what was your view before you started then when you were on the trail? Like, oh, okay, we can do this.
Yeah. Well, thankfully for us, while we didn't have a ton of long distance backpacking experience with Ellie, we did have a fair amount of backpacking experience up to like 2 weeks and beyond. We had done multiple backpacking trips and even guided backpacking trips. So we had a concept and an idea of how we would do as individuals and even as a couple. We knew what we were getting ourselves into and knew what to expect as far as that went. And so the figuring out of things was just figuring out how to do it with Ellie, which honestly wasn't a whole lot there. I mean,
yeah,
babies she was relatively easy, honestly, and even more so on the trail. She had much less need, I guess, on the trail. She enjoyed playing with what she had out there as far as sticks and rocks and leaves and the other dirty through hikers and whatnot. And so it was just a lot simpler out there than it was here. And everything just fell into place pretty naturally, I would say, on the trail, yeah, as far as, you know, figuring out her rhythms of sleeping and eating and stuff like that. And we were really, for her, at the perfect age of her to do it all, because she was still light enough to carry her, mm-hmm, but also could entertain herself in a backpack and nap in a backpack and stuff too. So it all worked out really well.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm noticing from a lot of people that have interesting thru-hike stories. Whether I met a guy that didn't have the lower half of one of his legs, and in my head I'm like, that's really crazy. Like, you're out here, and you know, it inspired me to kind of push past what I thought my hurdles were, or like my mental blocks were. And then, but you meet the guy and you're like, oh, that's just his situation. And then you meet a couple like you and you're like, oh, that's just your situation. And it normalizes and you're like, oh, it's not that. That's just what you have to deal with. And this is your commitment to this thing. So it sounds like it maybe really wasn't as life, like as struggle as what most people would think. Like, oh, I'm raising a kid on this trail. But kids adapt, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Ellie was super adaptable. And another thing that was good for Derek and I mentally is we were really focusing on Ellie and making sure she was comfortable, making sure we weren't taking her into bad weather. Mm-hmm. And so we just were focused so much on her and her needs and keeping her, like, happy and having fun on the trail and keeping her safe. And so that took away from us focusing on hurting feet, or yeah, of course we didn't ignore anything that needed attention, but it kept us from thinking about just the day-to-day normal things that mm-hmm hurt on a thru-hiker. And so it actually was really helpful in some ways.
That is super cool. I'm really curious about daily routines, but before we jump into like daily or weekly routines, when compared to like a normal thru-hiker that is not toting a child, I would imagine that when you told people, one, you're doing a thru-hike, and then two, you're doing a thru-hike with a one-year-old, what were the reactions of people? Clearly, you guys are experienced, so it wasn't like a brand-new couple had never backpacked, and, you know, you have a one-year-old jumping on the trail. That seems like a little crazy, but it sounds like you had a ton of experience prior to the trail. But what was that like, kind of telling people what your plan was, and then what were the reactions, and how did that affect you?
Yeah, so our family and our friends that knew us and knew our background were so excited and so supportive of us. And basically it was just, go get them. Like, we really believe in you, that you can do this. And then when it came to like publicly announcing what we were doing, it was a totally different ball game. And a lot of people thought that we wouldn't do it, and that we'd get 2 days down the trail and turn around and be done. But we definitely think that that's because they thought that we didn't have, like, it was just like this romanticized dream of hiking the AT with no experience. We're just going to go out as a family with not knowing anything. And yeah, so definitely the people that knew our background and experience, like, understood why we were doing it and that we could do it. Whereas people that didn't know who we were didn't feel the same way. So we definitely had like some people that didn't know us that sent some encouraging emails, but there was a lot of like, they're never going to do it, or that's not a safe decision. And then a lot of those people, I think, might have taken their statements back after we kept going.
What was the major flack that you guys got from people that didn't know you? Was it a common thread?
It was also from people who didn't know much about thru hiking or the Appalachian Trail either. it didn't bother us as much because people most of the time obviously didn't know what they were talking about. Like, one of my favorite ones was somebody saying that, oh, the pioneers were through hiking the Appalachian Trail with babies. And I was like, the Appalachian Trail wasn't here when the pioneers were. So it was a lot of that, just people that didn't know what they were talking about. So we didn't take any of that to heart. But on occasion, there would be through hikers that were actually really thoughtful with how they would respond to us. They would say, hey, I think what you're doing is cool. Here's something you may want to consider for X, Y, or Z part of the trail.
Oh, cool.
Which a lot of times was really helpful and really beneficial. Like we had a few people that were like, hey, the whites are sort of a big deal. Here's some things that you need to know that you might want to consider. And that was helpful. You know, people did the same thing throughout Maine. And I would say almost all of the negative response that we got was on internet forums. It wasn't directly to our face. Maybe once or twice we had somebody say something, not directly negative, but just sort of passive aggressive about what we were doing. But I mean, a lot of times it was just more so people that didn't know us were either super encouraging or just dumbfounded that we were doing something like this.
That's kind of what I figured. I mean, people that don't have the knowledge of what something might look like or be, and especially of the knowledge of you guys' background, like if they don't know what your background was, clearly the people close to you should be the ones that should say, hey, good idea, bad idea. And it sounds like everyone was like, dude, go get it. That sounds great. So that should be the best indication you have, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you sell your house, you're prepping for this hike. Can you kind of explain your daily routine with regard to, you're meeting other hikers, but your routine might be a little bit different than theirs. How was it the same? What was your average week and day look like with the baby?
Really, it didn't look too much different than any other through hiker. The only big difference is we took a lot of breaks during the day. So we would hike for no longer than an hour and a half at a time. So we'd hike for an hour to an hour and a half and then stop and take a break, whereas most through hikers only stop one or two times throughout the whole day. And so we would stop every hour to hour and a half, and then we would do that schedule all the way up until it was right before it got dark. We would try to time it so that we were getting to camp right before dark, so that we could maximize our time during the daylight, and then also get Ellie out to stretch and play as much as possible. So we were almost always the last ones rolling into camp in the evening. But that's okay, because we made up for our free time, so to say, or our relaxing time during the day, during breaks with Ellie. So that was the biggest difference. But other than that, everything else looked about the same as any other through hiker.
So most people were just hiking throughout the day. When I did the PCT, I was on that same schedule as you guys. Like, depending on how my body worked, I didn't hike longer than 2 hours, and then I took a break. So that's interesting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, we noticed that a lot of people would take a lunch break and then maybe an afternoon break, but a lot of people just walked all day long.
Oh, wow. That's, I don't think I would have done well just, you know, anytime I pushed myself that many hours throughout the day, I just would be crashed at night. Otherwise, I'd have to stop every 2 hours. I forced myself to do it, you know, just to stay spry throughout the day.
Yeah.
So what was your, talk to me about gear differences. Who carried Ellie and how did that work out?
So we switched off. So I carried Ellie and Ellie's clothes and diapers for the first 800 miles. And then she started getting heavy and we were up in Maine and Derek, he has a lot more like rock climbing experience. And so I just felt more comfortable with him carrying her due to like the need for being able to place your feet strategically in Maine and New Hampshire. So we switched. And so he started carrying her and the food. And then I carried all the rest of the gear. And that's what we ended up doing through the end. and it worked out really well. So Derek's pack ended up weighing about 45 pounds at the beginning of a resupply, and then mine was about 20 at the beginning of a resupply. And we carried a lot of food too, and so his pack would drop significantly towards the end, because we ate a lot. So that system worked out really well for us.
Was there anything unique about in that backpack that you could carry Ellie in? Could you carry other supplies as well, or is it just baby?
Yes, it had a compartment underneath where she sat that you could fit a full 3-day resupply of food in.
Oh, okay, so baby and food, and then you have the gear.
Uh-huh, yep.
Oh, okay,
right.
I gotcha, cool. How many days? So I'm not as familiar with the AT, but for anyone, I'm thinking my own experience when I was telling people I'm going to do this thing. They thought I would be, you know, like in the Alaska frontier, like hundreds of miles away from their civilization. And I would imagine that those hearing of you guys going on this trail might think the same thing. How is the PCT as far as, or not the AT as far as getting resupply or days between stops, and then in the event something happens with Ellie, getting medical attention or something? I'm guessing that was a major focus for you guys, like what happens if?
Oh yeah, for sure. So Derek and I both went and got our Wilderness First Responder certification. We had already been certified once and it needed to be renewed, and so we went and took the course again, the full course, just so that we had the knowledge in our heads and the peace of mind that we knew exactly what we would need to do if a medical situation were to arise while we were in the backcountry on our trip. And so that was a week and a half long course. And so we did that ahead of time the summer before we left for the AT, intentionally knowing that we were going to be through hiking. And so so that was on our minds. And then we also carried a spot with us, and we knew how to use that for emergencies. But for the most part, we were relatively close in comparison to getting to medical help. And then the other thing is that a good majority of the trail did have cell service, and so we would have been able to contact medical help as well to meet us as far. We would get as far as we could go, they could get as far as they could go. One of those kind of deals. There were a lot of towns. So I guess you cross roads just about every single day, multiple times a day. There were very few times where I don't think there was ever a day where we didn't cross at least a logging road. Mm-hmm. So we were seeing cars on an almost daily basis. And then, the actual towns were really close together as well. So it wasn't something that we ever felt real concerned about being so far out. Maine, you're kind of far out, but you're still within a couple of days of town. And again, crossing logging roads that were accessible if an emergency were to happen.
Do you guys recall your fears going into the AT, maybe the fears on the first couple weeks versus the like stripping down of fears as you moved along the trail? What were you really concerned about going into it? And then what were you like, did they go away, or were they still concerns?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I was really concerned about Ellie bothering people, because the AT is, I really was. I thought she was going to bother people and that people wouldn't want to see a baby on the trail and that would disturb their experience.
Really?
But the more we got to talking to the thru hikers that were around us and just like how much joy that she brought them when they saw her, that faded really fast.
Oh,
and
so cool.
I mean, Ellie is a really flexible and easygoing baby too. So I imagine that if she were screaming all the time, that would be a different story. But we probably wouldn't have thru hiked the AT if she screamed all the time anyway.
Right, yeah.
So she's a really flexible and happy baby to begin with. So that faded, but it was always in the back of my mind, like, oh, I don't want anybody to be disturbed by her. So for the most part, we didn't camp. We never stayed in shelters. And when and we tried to avoid even tenting near shelters. We tried to tent in the sites that were that only had like one or two places for a tent, just so that just in case she were to wake up in the middle of the night and be upset, which she only did one time over six months, then we wouldn't bother anybody. But yeah, like I said, that only happened one time and nobody was near anyway, and so so it was never a problem.
That is so interesting.
As far as any
that...
other fears, though, I don't... Derek, do you have anything different?
Weather-related stuff was obviously a big concern, you know, especially in the beginning. We started in late March, but there were some really cold nights in the beginning. So we were just really aware of weather forecasts and making sure that there wasn't cold and precipitation. So there was, at one point when we were supposed to go through Grayson Highlands, there was a forecast for temperatures in the teens with 70-mile-an-hour winds and snow, and we decided to take a couple zeros for that.
Yeah.
So keeping her warm in the beginning was a concern, but after like a week or two, really after getting out of Grayson, we didn't have to worry about the cold too much. And then returning to the whites, we were concerned about, or not returning to the whites, but flipping up north and heading south throughout Maine and through the whites, we were just concerned about just weather patterns there, because weather can come in really fast in the whites, and you can be exposed to them without much shelter. So that was another one of our zeros, was about halfway through the whites. We took a zero because there was forecast for rain, significant rain, and we just didn't want to be exposed and wet and windy and cold and stuff like that. So I'd say, yeah, just her health in general was the main concern. For me, anyways.
How did that did that change throughout the trip? Like, you, I feel like if I have a baby on my back, I'm like, I'm always checking the baby. Like, are you happy? Are you this? Are you that? And then I don't know if that was like that for you guys. It sounds like you had experience backpacking with her before, but did you kind of just loosen your, like, okay, she's okay, this is just new life for her, or did you, were you still
That's kind of just parenting in general. You're always wondering if your baby is okay. And so that's just kind of like a natural awareness that you have regardless of being on the trail. You're just always wondering, like, where's my child? Is my child comfortable? Do they need water? Do they need food? So that was just normal parenting that we would have experienced at home. And so we just translated that to the trail. And that's something we had to remind ourselves of a lot, too. Are the things that we would be going through this at home. This is not, that has nothing to do with the trail. This is just normal being a parent and being her being a baby. And we had to constantly remind ourselves of that because she's our first baby. And so some of the things were new. She was only a year old. So things that happened between 12 months and 18 months, all of that was new to us. And so we were figuring that out and figuring out what was just normal being a baby.
You mentioned earlier that you were going on these hikes and that you saw that Ellie was responding well to being outside and in these hikes you were doing. Did you see, what was it like watching your child grow up in the wilderness, like spending every day for the most part for 6 months, in the wild, you know, around nature with bugs and with sticks and leaves and rocks versus all the influences you get in like normal society? What was that like watching your child? Did you see anything different? What was your observation?
Well, like I just said, she's our first baby, so it's kind of hard for us to know anything different than raising a child on the trail.
Yeah.
But we did notice some things, like once we got back home, and that people would mention to us that we didn't think twice about. So, for example, she learned to walk while we were on the trail, and she never, ever trips and never stumbles on anything. And she can run really fast, and she can, like, run on trails and in the grass, and, like, she just doesn't fall. And so finally someone said to us, they were like, that's because your child literally learned to walk on, like, rocky paths she never walked on a flat surface for the most part. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that does make sense. Like, she's just really like extra coordinated in that way. And so, so things like that, like developmentally, she has really incredible fine motor skills just from like playing with really fine stuff, like, the dirt and the rocks and the leaves and the sticks. Like, we didn't take a single toy for her. And so, she also entertains herself incredibly well. She doesn't need to be entertained. She knows what a TV is and she knows what TV shows are, but she's totally content without them. And, so I think that entertainment has come really easy for her because she has learned to play with things that don't use batteries and don't talk for you. And then her verbal communication, it was super fun teaching her her first words because we teach her things that she could see. So one of her first words was a backpack and blaze. And so all these like really funny words that you don't usually teach your kid as their mm-hmm. first words. And so it was fun doing that, though, because that gave us something to do while she was in the backpack is teach her new words, especially at the end. She was starting to repeat everything we said. And so she was super fun to teach those kind of things to during the day, and it gave us something to do as well.
Oh, man. That is such a unique to see your kid take their first steps while on such a one. I mean, hiking, any through hiker is going to tell you like it's an amazing experience, right? But you got to not only share that with as a couple, but as a family as well. And I can only imagine that moment, wherever that moment was that she took those first steps. I would imagine that's like imprinted in your brains.
Oh, definitely. It is.
So did people, I would imagine she became fairly popular in your little bubble as you moved up and down the trail.
I guess you could say so.
Were people trying to catch the baby and try and see this for themselves?
Yes, they did. People wondered if it was real. And so they would see her on the trail. And I mean, we could spot someone from way off. We could barely even see their face, and they could see the little head bobbing up and down on Derek's back. And people would like scream and run, "It's Ellie!"
Oh,
and come
gosh.
And want to talk to her. And,
nobody cared about us.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Like, we're fine. We're fine.
They're like, "Who are you?" "Oh, you're her parents." "Right. She does need those. That's right."
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Yeah, I mean, because you end up getting these little like tall tales, you know, throughout the bubble that you're in, and you never know if they're real until you actually see them. So that's hilarious.
Oh yeah, we had one lady that we hiked with for a couple weeks, and she was like Ellie's grandmother, and she would have Ellie come over for play dates in her tent.
Stop. Oh my gosh. That is so funny how that's just super funny. You become a family out there, and I would imagine people really cling on to things they really care about, and you become very close with people and you build your own family. And man, how neat is that?
Oh yeah.
What were some, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say there was a couple of girls that wouldn't hang around for us too long because Becca and I didn't actually hike together that often. We would hike at our own pace just because it saved a lot of stress to not have to try and walk at one another's pace. So we wouldn't necessarily hike together, but if we had one of those friends around us, and I had Ellie and Becca was somewhere else, a lot of times the other friend would get, "Oh, you must be mom," and it turned out that obviously she was not, but they would talk about having to get hats or shirts that said "not mom" or something like that.
That is funny. My wife will kill me if I don't ask about any explosions and baby. There was a picture that she's like, "Oh my gosh, there was a baby explosion." What were some highs and lows about baby rearing on the AT?
Well, that was obviously a pretty deep low when I got pooped on. It doesn't I've heard of, like, you know, Giardia getting passed around on the trail or norovirus getting passed around on the trail and people getting thrown up on, but I don't think that really anyone gets pooped on too frequently on the AT. But, yeah, you know, if she had situated herself just right, the diaper would shift to the side,
oh my
and she'd
gosh.
Have a nice blowout. I wouldn't necessarily notice it because I'm walking and the smell is probably wafting behind me, and I would frequently, you know, play with her, reach back and tickle her feet or something like that. And we're walking through the trail, and where was that? Pennsylvania was the first one. I think it was, yeah, maybe New Jersey, actually. Walking along, and she's babbling back there, and I reach back to tickle her, and I bring my hand back, and I just realize that there's feces on my hand, and that was less than desirable. So I'm like, okay, well, there's crap. Where else is it? And so I take her off, and I realize it's all over my shirt.
Stop.
It's all over her bottom half. It's all over my arm. And it was just really, really gross. So thankfully, and everyone was like, what did you do? Wash her off in the creek? And we're like, no, we're not going to put a poopy child into the creek. So we just used all of the wipes that we had left to clean ourselves up. But thankfully, we were getting into town and resupplying that day. We were able to get some more wipes, but that was a low.
Emotional lows.
Did
you guys have
turned
any
away
of those?
From a hostel? What's that?
I was curious about emotional lows, but what were you saying?
Well, there were definitely those, but they were oftentimes coinciding with physical, you know, just pains and lows and stuff. But one low. Mentally and emotionally was what I was getting to, actually. We had just gotten out of Maine, which was a huge accomplishment for us. Maine was really hard. We had crossed into New Hampshire, and we had gone to a Chinese buffet in Gorham, and we, while we were there, we called and made a reservation at the hostel right on the trail. And we reserved a private room like we always do at hostels, just because we didn't, you know, bunk rooms aren't really an option for us just with Ellie. We want her to be able to run around and have her own space. And again, that idea of worrying about if she's bothering people, we just didn't want to have to deal with that. So we always reserved a private room. And when we get there, they say, well, is that baby with you guys? And we were like, yeah, she's not with anybody else. She's with us. And they were like, yeah, we actually don't allow babies in our hostel. And they sent us away. So that was
no
a huge
way.
Bummer. We went from this really high emotional state of finishing one of the hardest states on the trail to this really deep low of just resenting this hostel and just feeling this utter sense of rejection. And
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty hard for me to keep my composure during that time, but it all ended up working out. We ended up going a mile and a half further away from the trail to a campground and stayed there. And they had a pool and a playground and stuff. So it worked out, but it wasn't the nice cozy bed that we were hoping for. But otherwise, challenges were pretty typical of any other through hiker. Just the moments of monotony of walking through green tunnels and just struggling at times like that with motivation to keep going. But otherwise, I would say that Ellie probably more often brought joy to us during our through hike than she did create any stress for us.
Oh, that's cool. How did you guys deal with those moments of, you know, what are we doing? What the heck are we doing here? Let's just go. How'd you guys get through those?
I guess we just kept walking.
just keep moving.
And yeah, I don't know. Giving up completely never even really came up to us. We had at one point discussed skipping the rest of Maine. So after we left Monson, so the first, if you're going southbound, the first town in Maine, it was just super hard for us. And we were like, we were struggling physically. It was raining. When it wasn't raining, the mosquitoes were sucking out all of our blood.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it was just really, really hard for us. And we were like, well, maybe we'll just go down to New Hampshire. But We said, well, we're in the middle between Monson and Caratunk, I think, or Stratton was, which one was next? Caratunk was next. We were in the middle and we were like, well, we have to at least get to Caratunk. So let's get to Caratunk and then we'll look at what it would take for us to get from Caratunk to Stratton. And basically we just said, okay, let's just take it 3 days at a time. Let's get to the next town and reevaluate from there. So we just kept doing that. We looked at every resupply as a new little backpacking trip. And eventually we got through Maine and then got through New Hampshire. And, yeah, I think it was just, you know, telling ourselves you've got to get to the next point regardless of what you're doing. So just get there and reevaluate. And we just kept doing that. And eventually we got back home.
Isn't that funny how it works? If you look at it too big, it just is super daunting, but just little backpack trips. Yeah. That's about it, right?
Yeah. That's how we had to do it. And especially, you know, in the beginning, it was like, oh yeah, we're cruising, but we still have a lot left. The halfway point, it was like, oh,
right,
we're only halfway. that was sort of daunting to us. But the rest of the halfway point for us was Mount Moosalaki, which is pretty much the end of the Whites. So we had gotten through all of the hardest stuff. We just had the Mid-Atlantic and a little bit of Virginia, which, I mean, it was granted it's half the trail, but it wasn't anything that was necessarily known as being very hard. So definitely encouraging.
Your body's probably, and that right. Half the trail is when your body's like, okay, I feel like I'm 80, but I also can crush these hills.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. So our bodies got used to it and just used to hurting, I think. But in the end, it was all worth it for sure.
Oh, man, I love it. Well, okay, to round out the conversation, I would love to hear. So this whole podcast is about helping people kind of have them, you know, either break down barriers to backpacking or to the backcountry or whatever it might be, whether it's afraid of the heat, the cold, the remoteness, whatever. You guys backpacked the Appalachian Trail in a single season with a one-year-old. I'm curious what your advice to backpackers are, or, you know, the thru-hiking season is quickly approaching. It's the 1st of January when we record this, so whether it's advice to thru-hikers on the AT or thru-hikers in general or to parents who want to get outside, what's your advice?
I guess just all around, start small. So if you're starting a thru-hike from the couch, which is totally cool. We met a lot of people that had like never done a backpacking trip before and then completed a full thru-hike. If you're doing that, you know, just start small, plan your days to be 5 to 8 miles a day and then work your way up as you get more comfortable. And just don't set your expectations too high for what you can accomplish. Cause you think in your head, you're like, well, I've got all day long. I could just hike forever. And it doesn't seem to work out that way. Mm-hmm. Every single day we either would come up short or right on track. And it's like, I can't walk another mile today. Or rarely would it happen where we could keep walking after we met our goal for the day. So just starting small, because when you set achievable goals, then you get motivated to keep going. Whereas if you set your goal at doing 12 to 15 miles a day and you can't meet that, you get really discouraged. For the AT specifically, I definitely recommend, if you're thinking about direction, I highly recommend either flip-flopping or going southbound. If that's an option for you to do either of those, I highly recommend that instead of doing a northbound. I know Katahdin is like the ultimate finish, but you can do that in a flip-flop as well. You can still have Katahdin as your finish. I know that the ATC is highly recommending people do that versus going northbound because of how much traffic is on the AT going northbound. It's overbearing, it's overcrowded. And so I would definitely recommend doing that. Ours is a flip-flop, and we loved doing it that way. And it also allows you to stay with the good weather on either end as well. Then the southbound, if you go southbound, then you get all the hard stuff out of the way first. So that's fun too. Yeah, and then for parents that are looking to get out, again, just starting small and setting realistic expectations for yourself and for your child or baby, and starting small by going on hikes and then moving your way up to maybe a car camping trip and then a local backpacking trip, and just stay really local or stay where you have the comforts of a motel or a cabin or something close by, just in case things don't go exactly how you planned, instead of putting all this time and research and effort and hopes into a trip that you drive far away to only to have to pack up and have to come back home. And so I just really recommend starting small. That way you have a really great experience too, as well, because if you set these lower expectations, then you're also more likely to come out on the other end of your trip feeling a lot more satisfied and feeling a lot more like your trip was worth your time, instead of feeling discouraged and disheartened that you didn't do everything you wanted to do. So that's what I recommend. And if there's any families that are seriously thinking about a through hike with a baby, we'd love for them to send us a message, either email us or send us an Instagram message, and we will be so happy to talk to anyone personally about a through hike if they're actually planning on doing one. So we'd love to share any tips and any help we can, because we would have loved to have somebody to do that for us. But since no one had done it before, we didn't have that. So now we'd love to do that for other people as well.
Awesome. Speaking of advice, do you have advice for baby carriers, specifically brands that you used or things that worked, maybe features you look for in a baby carrier?
I do, yeah. So we chose to go with the Deuter Kid Comfort 3, and we had tried out a couple other framed child carriers previously, and we ended up landing with the Deuter carrier because it was the most comfortable for us to wear and then also the most comfortable for Ellie to be sitting in for a long amount of time. And it has this big old cushy pillow that Ellie would fall asleep on multiple times every single day. And so she had that padded comfort right there so she could take really long naps in it. And there weren't any others that had that kind of cushion in them. And not only was it a nice cushy pillow for her, but it was removable and you could wash it. And we couldn't find that anywhere else either where you could wash it. And I mean, any through hiker gear, even baby gear, yeah, it just gets disgusting on the trail. So it was really nice to have that, and it held up incredibly well. In fact, we could still use it to this day if we wanted to. However, with it being out in the eastern climate for 6 months, being out, it got some mold on it. But structurally, it's a fantastic pack.
Sweet. Sweet. Well, man, thanks so much, guys. I'm curious, what do you guys have planned for 2018? Anything big or any major trips, or is that planned for next year?
Oh, no, we do. We actually have a big trip that we're announcing today on our Instagram account.
Awesome.
We're headed to the Midwest this time. This year, we're going to go up to Banff, Canada, and start on the Great Divide Trail, which is a mountain bike path that runs from Canada down to the Mexico border. And so we're going to be biking that starting the end of July or beginning of August, and be toting Ellie this time in a bike trailer. And so we're really looking forward to that trip. It's not a super well-known trail, and so we're really excited to jump on that on bikes this time. We decided when Ellie hit about 25 pounds, we were done carrying her on our back.
Yeah.
We'll use some mechanical advantage this time.
Oh man, well, I'll definitely be staying tuned to that journey. Do you guys want to do a quick how people can reach you and follow your journey?
So right now our Instagram is Ellie on the AT. That may be changing, but we'll try and make it so that people can still find us. But our blog also changing right now. That's EllieOnTheAT.com. But if by chance, by the time you listen to it, it has changed, we will likely be called the Dirtbag Baby. So give us just Google search, and you'll probably find our blog, or Instagram. That'll be our handle as well. So,
cool.
Ellie on the AT or the Dirtbag Baby.
Man, I love it. I will make sure to put links to your website and your Instagram, and I'll update it if it changes. I noticed I updated my Instagram handle and it kept all the major hashtags, I guess, or the attachments, so it wasn't a big deal. So that's
nice.
A good thing.
Good
yeah,
to know.
It's good to know. I didn't know that was actually a thing, but I changed it. And I was like, oh, well, there it goes, and it all stayed. So
awesome.
Cool.
That's
well,
awesome.
Thanks so much, guys. I love it. Hopefully, I know someone learned something, and at least, if anything, it was an amazing story to hear how you guys did this thing. So thank you so much for your time. Have an amazing 2018.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for reaching out. We appreciate getting to share the story with people.
Cool. All right, man. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Byland Podcast. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Becca and Derek and Ellie. You know, people like this really inspire me to stop creating barriers for myself and just kind of find a way to make it work. And it sounds like Becca and Derek, you know, epitomize that idea of just getting out there, making it work, not having excuses, and just getting it done. And I think we can all learn a lot from people like them and their family. And it's going to be really interesting to see how their next adventure goes. And I know I'm going to be along for the ride to follow and see how Ellie progresses along the way, because how adorable is that? So thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions for me, you can reach me at emery@byland.co. I'm on Instagram at byland.co now, and you can reach me at www.byland.co. Leave me a message, rate me on iTunes, leave an honest comment, and that's how I reach more people. So thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.